Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for any Amazon sellers in the globe, really. That's very unspecific, but to be honest, I designed it for British sellers, but a lot of people listening are, it turns out, Americans, Australians are getting a lot out of it. This is going to be a very international type episode, I think, because we're talking data analytics and specifically profit today with Sarah Gulla of SellerSpike. SellerSpike is the latest data analytics platform for Amazon third-party sellers. So we're going to discuss the importance of analyzing profit. Clearly an important topic. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us again. We're excited to talk more about SellerSpike and how you can view your profits.
Excellent. So the first question, I'm going to ask the dumbest questions first because sometimes they produce interesting answers. Why does this even matter?
So Amazon Seller Profit can tell you a lot about how your business is performing, but SellerSpike makes it really easy to see your true profit by not only displaying your estimated net profit, but also breaking down every penny that is going in and out of your business, which I think matters.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay, great. So it's the detail level, I guess, and the visibility that's different, right? So I would say for me, accounting is a broad, odd area. It covers management accounting, which includes overheads and gross profit, Amazon costs as well, tax accounting. So just to be clear, which bits you guys deal with, what is it that you specifically track? Or what do you deal with within the SellerSpike platform?
Right. So with SellerSpike, you can really see a penny that's going in and out of your Amazon business. You can see your net sales, tax, reimbursements, commission, promo discounts, product refunds, shipping, Amazon tax, get any gift wrap that is being used. And it includes your FBA fees, Amazon FBM postage. It really includes your entire profit all in one place.
Okay, so it sounds like it deals with all the stuff that's sort of on Amazon costs. And you can presumably input your cost of goods sold as well from your manufacturer. Mm. Okay, great. So what should you track then in profit and loss settlements? Because obviously, as you say already, there's quite a degree of difficulty picking out the real detail from Seller Central directly. What is it that we need to track that isn't easy to find, is another way of putting it?
I would say that conversion rate is a big one. Amazon's algorithm clearly favors products that convert well and rank them higher in their algorithm. So your conversion rate is a major factor as to why your ranking is slipping. And it's not something that is easily accessible on Seller Central.
So you break down conversion rate by product, I'm presuming?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm always shocked. I mean, you can get to it on Seller Central, but yeah, it's not always the easiest way to find it. And I'm always shocked by the number of sort of beginner stage sellers who, when I say beginner, they've been selling for a year, year and a half maybe, and they don't even know the conversion rates of their products, so they don't even know they could find it on Seller Central. So I guess having it more visible has got to be a good thing. So what specific profit and loss measurements do you think that people easily overlook on Seller Central that SellerSpike helps with?
I would definitely say refunds. So we find buyers in orders that have refunded but haven't returned the unit yet. We pick up on trends of buyers frequently refunding. And when units get returned in a sellable condition, SellerSpike has already accounted for the cost deducted to that original order. But this really affects your bottom line because if you're running a Amazon business on a larger scale and your return rate is even as low as 1%, but you're bringing in a couple million dollars in sales that year, that's $20,000 affecting your bottom line. So accounting for returns and refunds is really important.
Yeah, amen to that. And I think, yeah, you're right. It's the unsexy stuff that's really a pain to find that can actually have a big effect. If you think about it, $2 million revenue at that size, it may well be, if you're not particularly lucky, that you're at a 10% average sort of profit for your business as a whole, so pre-tax profit, That would be a bit on the low side, but it's quite plausible. And therefore, $20,000 would be 10% of your profits. So that's a huge change in profit and a huge change in the value of your business as well. To put it even more alarmingly, $20,000, if you're going to sell your business one day for 3 times your pre-tax profit or EBITDA, that would be a £60,000 difference in the value of your business. So that would be something to really, really take account of, right? The more you look at it, the more profound that has an effect. Great. Yes. Yeah, so returns and refunds, obviously really important. So what else should you track in profit and loss statements that we're overlooking and that Seller Spike shows us more easily?
Right. So one other thing is Seller Spike can show you your promo discounts, which is an important factor to keep in mind, especially when you're competing against another, when you're competing against your competitor and they're running a promotion, you want to make sure that you're not discounting too much to where it seems like to where you're losing profit and you don't want your prices to be too high. So you want to find that good middle ground to where you're still making profit, but you're able to discount.
Yeah, I think that you've raised a very important point there. I'm glad you raised that because actually it's one of those things which is very hard to do when you're trying to do projected profit and loss for a new product is to account for the promotions and the discounts because you can't just do, oh, it's 500 times, you know, the standard selling price. Suddenly you've got to deal with quite a lot of sort of messier data because you're going to sell a certain percent at 50% off and then some maybe 20% off. And you're absolutely right that has a huge impact on the profit, actually. And it's easy to overlook that because the maths of it is a bit harder. So that's a really good thing to talk about. So we've mentioned in the previous episode about being in sort of data-driven versus data-informed and how analytics feeds into that, the mindset that's appropriate, I suppose. How does that sort of side of things look in the profit and loss side of things?
Right. So we can carry over that example that I said in the last episode, being a data-driven versus data-informed seller, when you're looking at the profit and loss side, can really be boiled down to this simple example. So a data-driven seller might look at a spike in sales and think that their business is doing really well because of something that they're doing. But a data-informed seller might see a spike in sales and put into consideration that environmental factor that maybe it's the holiday season, maybe they're buying your essential items because of the pandemic, who knows. But speaking off the data-informed versus data-driven, it all really boils down to putting critical thinking in action. Critical thinking is something that you learn in higher education. It's one of the first things you learn. So critical thinking is the analysis of putting together facts to form a judgment. So you can't form a judgment without considering all of the facts and multiple factors. And that's really with anything in life. Nothing just really is.
Yeah, that's quite a profound statement, but I think you're absolutely right. Nothing just really is. I think you, in other words, you have to, I guess, retain a bit of common sense, or you maybe develop it. They say common sense is not common, right? So there's sort of e-commerce common sense that says, of course, your sales are 4 times normal. It's Christmas or it's Q4, which is just standard for many products that are very seasonal. I guess if it's your first season, you might just think you're a genius at product picking, in which case, yeah, you're quite right. And as you said in the previous episode, environmental factors, I like that phrase. In other words, things around your business, not inside it, that they're making the difference. So we talked about KPIs again in the last episode, but to make it specific to profit and loss, what financial metrics, shall we say, what financial KPIs do your sellers find the most important?
So our sellers really do appreciate how Seller Spike can break down the profitability of each of your products. That's something that's really cool because you get a whole overview, a breakdown of your entire business and your profit there. But you can also check the profitability of each product that is listed on your Amazon account. And one of the main thing that almost eliminates the need for a whole other third-party system is our ability to track refunds and account for products that have been refunded in sellable condition. Because I know that some people go to a third-party company that promises them to manage their refunds and returns. But with Seller Spike, you can do everything in one place. So yeah, like I said earlier, if you're a larger scale seller, accounting for these refunds and returns is really vital.
Yeah, good point. And I guess having it integrated into one system is really useful. And I think, yes, profit breakdown by product. And I know that in your software will also allow for sort of grouping products together in terms of profitability, which both of which I think if you've got a larger catalogue are really useful because you can track trends more easily when it's on a dashboard outside of the dog's dinner, shall we say, that is Seller Central, which is just never got any better, right? It's the user interface is stuck somewhere of circa 2010 and it's stayed there for the last 6 years that I've been using it. Anyway, so yeah, that's really good to have that clarity. What do you think are the classic mistakes then that sellers make when they're analyzing their profit and loss information?
Right. So this just boils back down to being data-driven versus data-informed. We don't want to say being data-driven versus data-informed, one is right or wrong, but in the case of an Amazon seller, you really want to be data-informed. So a lot of the mistakes that are being made are probably not putting into consideration environmental factors, running out of inventory and having this main KPI affect all of your other KPIs. But our next blog campaign actually is centered around, we have an article coming out about 9 of the most common mistakes sellers make when analyzing data. So that's something to look out for.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, if you send us the link, we'll link to it from the show notes as well. So yeah, but I like the simple KPI of have you got stock? No. In a stock-driven business, that means everything else falls on its face, doesn't it? There are no sales. There is no profit. There is no keyword ranking. At least you're going to lose your keyword ranking. So it's a very good point. Yeah, you've got to. Yeah, don't run out of inventory. Otherwise, all the other KPIs are meaningless. And by the way, joking apart, that's very easily overlooked by somebody who's a very market-oriented, marketing-focused entrepreneur, which can really happen when you're at the early stages until you've experienced getting out of stock for 2 or 3 times and you realize how much money you've left on the table. So it sounds like we've covered most of the stuff that you guys cover. What profit and loss of features that you haven't mentioned would you like to mention, or would you like to just summarize what you guys do in terms of settlements, financial KPIs that you offer people?
Right. So I think that one unique thing that Seller Spike does is it really allows you to visualize your profit and loss. And unlike some of our other competitors, you can completely customize your sales chart, you can compare dates, time frames, the type of chart that you want to be viewing. You can break this chart down by your gross sales, your totals. So say your total number of orders or units and really annotate in there. That's one other cool feature is that if you do see a spike in sales for no other reason than you are just doing awesome, you can annotate that on your chart and check back on that later, see that you had a really good day that day, and circle back to that later.
That does sound good. I have to say customizable charts sort of does it for me, but then I'm a bit of a data geek. I'm not sure that everyone is as geeky as I am. But so tell me a little bit more about the experience. I know that you were talking to me about the customer service reps and how you relate to the sellers that you work with. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So we work with a small team, so we have really great customer service representatives that try their best to get back to you within 24 hours. But like I said earlier, before the show to Michael, that our customer service representatives, they really get to know you along your selling journey and they'll help you get the most out of Seller Spike. I think that's something that's unique to us just because our team is a little bit on the smaller side, but it really allows us to get to know you, your business, and grow with you.
Excellent. That sounds very good. And everyone tends to, particularly American business culture, everyone shies away from saying the word small as if it's bad. But there's a Swiss saying, I think small is beautiful. And I think when it comes to the customer service experience, I've definitely found this to be the case. I mean, the smaller companies are always the ones I prefer to work with because they treat you like a human being. So that's a big plus as far as I'm concerned. So I know that your website is at sellerspike.com. That's SellerSpike, just as it sounds, sellerspike.com. And I know you've got a discount for Amazing FBA listeners. So please tell us how we get that.
Yes. So you can use the code AFP. So Amazing FBA Podcast 20. So AFP20 for $25 off our growth plan for 3 months. It's worth checking out. I highly recommend it.
Excellent. Yes, well, it sounds to me that it's really worth checking as well. And some of the things you've said that I think is a little bit different to what's out there, particularly the idea of software as a service is often just a kind of cleaned up version of stuff you could get in Seller Central by digging around for hours and hours and hours of your life. But I think it's a very good plan indeed. Some very advanced sellers who are very good at creating spreadsheets nevertheless use a software like yours because they recognize the time value of their time is not worth doing that. But also the fact that that can get too rigid on the other hand and not customized. So I think the fact that you've got this clean data, but it's customizable, is a really great selling point. So for that reason alone, I would urge anyone to check it out. I think that for me makes it a little bit different. And it's definitely so important to have clarity on your numbers, right? I think that's the main thing, that if you're muddy in your head about the numbers because you're using a muddy system, then you really need to be considering using something like this. So Sellerspike sounds like a really cool system. I've looked into it for the sake of the podcast. I'm going to be revisiting it again. It sounds like something I may be recommending to people, and really good to talk through as well the subject matter of analytics, because sometimes, as we've discussed in the previous podcast, everyone thinks more is better. And I think with data, yeah, that really isn't necessarily the case, right? Accuracy and relevance are probably more important than anything else.
Right. So. And like I said, we have our latest blog campaign is centered around data and analytics and why Amazon sellers and e-commerce professionals need this data. So that's something to keep an eye out for. And if you're not too familiar with Sellerspike, you can head to our comparisons page, which allows you to view what Sellerspike offers against our competitors. So some popular names like Sellex, Fetcher, ShopKeeper, you can see how we stack up against the competition.
Excellent. Well, yes, I know some of those guys that have had some of them on the podcast. So sellerspike.com/compare is the chart. And I think it's very brave of you to be willing to go head to head with the competition, because really, I mean, again, that's the sort of thing that any seller should be doing and when they're making their choices. And I'd urge people to be willing every so often to review their software stack, even if you've got something you're using and it's doing okay. Always worth checking out just to see if there might be something that's more optimal for your business. So just remains for me to say, Sarah, thank you very much for a very interesting conversation, and thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million-dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.